Magic lamp? Wonder what happens when I rub it.
You have awakened me. I shall grant you 3 wishes.
My first wish is for economic development. My second wish is to save hours of travel time. And my third wish is to create safer roads.
You could have just wished for bus rapid transit and gotten all these things with one wish.
Make all your transit wishes come true. Learn more about bus rapid transit at indigo.net/bus-rapid-transit.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So let's rock it!
It's the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show on 93 WIBC.
Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduation. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law.
Welcome to the party, Val. That was Presidential Poopy Pants finally weighing in on the protests and occupations of buildings and campuses on colleges across the country. I'm just saying, like, you and I have been talking about this for 2 weeks now.
Right.
We finally officially hear from the president today.
He waited for Columbia and UCLA to be over before he walked up there like a tough guy. Hey, enough is enough. He waited for the NYPD to go on a trip in a ladder to go through windows of Hamilton Hall. He waited for the California Highway Patrolman to storm the campus of UCLA, take down those flags and do all that crap before he shuffled up there and said, it's not peaceful.
No kidding. Again, you could have heard this on this show 2 weeks ago when all this was going down.
And again, if you missed it last night, late last night, early this morning, UCLA, that's kind of the West Coast version of what's happening at Columbia, right? On the East Coast, Columbia was ground zero. On the West Coast, it was UCLA, just a encampment of these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas lunatics, many of them students, some of them not, a couple faculty members in the mix, just chanting horrific things to Jewish students. I mean, you can go on Twitter and see firsthand some of the hateful rhetoric that was coming out of some of these people on campus. The authorities went in there late last night, tore down the tents, made some arrests, took the Palestinian flag down, threw it across to the trash, and now it seems like UCLA's campus is okay again.
Oh, I don't know if it's okay. Have you seen the condition of the campus and the trash? It looks like a dumpster. You know, 1,000 dumpsters have been just sort of turned over.
It looks like the day after the 500. If you've ever seen pictures of what the infield is like the day after the race.
These people protesting are supposed to be, you know, they love the environment, climate change. Oh, we've got to take care of, you know, no plastic bottles, throw your trash. They trashed this place and then left it.
And they're posers, too. Like, they want to act like they're tough guys. But listen to this. Listen to this UCLA student that was arrested. He was filmed being arrested. And he almost cried, yelling to his, you know, professors, don't fail us.
I'm a student here. I'm an English major. Please, don't fail us. Don't fail us.
Well, you should have thought of that before you started, you know, wishing the gas chamber upon your fellow classmates.
Don't protest. Don't trespass. Don't get arrested. How about that?
Don't fail us is the modern version of bro, don't tase me.
Don't fail us.
Don't tase me, bro.
It's the modern version.
Narrator. He got tased.
He sure as hell did. So Joe Biden today coughed his way through a speech about anti-Semitism on college campuses, really addressing this for the first time. Now, here's what we're going to do. Nige, I want you to take a drink every time he coughs or clears his throat.
My Arnold Palmer Light, half and half iced tea lemonade is what the selection is today.
Okay, so get ready. Every time he coughs or clears his throat, take a drink.
Before I head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail.
I'm done. He cleared me out.
Finished the whole can right there. That was Joe Biden addressing the anti-Semitism earlier today. Now, his opponent, what we believe will be his opponent this November, Donald Trump. He was doing a rally in Wisconsin when one of these anti-Israel protesters came on stage and started yelling things.
Where did he come from? All right. Thank you. Go home to mom, right? Go home to your mom. Thank you. Thank you, man. Say hello to mother.
Mommy's not going to be happy.
So remember last week, and we played the audio of Joe Biden reading the teleprompter. And
yes.
He read the words that you're not supposed to read. And he does this all the time. He's like Ron Burgundy. He read the word pause. Remember this?
Yeah.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
So he says pause out loud because it was on the teleprompter. Again, in that Wisconsin rally, that had Donald Trump's attention.
But isn't it nice to have a president who doesn't need a teleprompter? Not that he can read it anyway. He can't read it. Now, think if I read my teleprompter and I'm going, well, let's see, because of the weakness in the economy, I'd like to apologize. Pause. 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 What was that? That's unbelievable. Boss, you know, I was watching it. I said, that was weird. They actually don't have pause in my teleprompter, you know. They have a blank space. That's like you see. If there's a response, if there's no response, you just keep going. You don't have pause.
Incredible.
So what I've done, because I thought that sounds like something you would see Jerry Seinfeld do opening up an episode of Seinfeld. Let's see how that same speech would sound if you put the Seinfeld music behind it.
But isn't it nice to have a president who doesn't need a teleprompter? Not that he can read it anyway. He can't read it. Now, think if I read my teleprompter and I'm going, well, let's see, because of the weakness in the economy, I'd like to apologize. Pause. Pause. What was that? That's unbelievable. Pause. You know, I was watching it. I said, that was weird. They actually don't have pause in my teleprompter. You know?
Uh-huh. Sure.
They have a blank space. That's like you see. If there's a response. If there's no response, you just keep going. You don't have pause.
Sounds like the opening of a Seinfeld.
Totally. Totally.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show on 93 WIPC.
You'll love this, Hammer. Listen to this pro-Israel demonstrator. You don't hear that a lot. Usually hear pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protesters. This is a pro-Israel demonstrator telling the pro-Hamas demonstrators that they need to get a job and that they're all fat, ugly, and broke.
That's right, put me on camera. I want for myself. Get a job. You guys are all fat, ugly, and broke.
All right.
You got to admire these guys that get out there and stand with the Israeli flag and just rub it in their faces. And it just enrages the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel people. They act like idiots.
And he's got something to what he's saying here. Because, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm Bradley Cooper in The Hangover. But these pro-Hamas college kids are ugly.
They have the same, generally the same look, yeah.
You know, wacky color hair, face colored up, fat, disheveled.
COVID mask wearing.
Right. And it's not just me noticing. I think a lot of people are noticing. Megyn Kelly, on her popular program, talked about this.
And by the way, why are they so unattractive? I really legitimately want to know. Why are all the protesters so homely? I don't think they're unconnected. I'm not going to lie. I think attractive, smart people are not drawn to this nonsense. They're living their lives being successful. It's the unattractive and or dumb people who feel the need to do this to feel like they matter. Sorry.
And dumb is another good word to describe a percentage of these protesters who have no idea what they're doing there or what's going on in the Middle East with Gaza and Israel and Hamas. Just nothing.
Now, the legit college kids, we're not talking about the professional protesters that came, were busting, whatever, but the legit college kids, you hope, and maybe this is, you know, hoping too much, that they grow out of that stage and they get wiser with age. But the professors that are down there forming the human chain to block police officers from going into Columbia, from going into IU Bloomington, there's no excuse for them. Like, I'm almost willing to give some of these numbnuts college kids a pass because I don't think they know what they're talking or know what they're doing. But you would hope that the professors would know, but they're down there allowing it to happen.
And after it's all over, after the police, like UCLA, for instance, I feel like Columbia was ground zero for this thing. They kind of took over the campus and the tent encampments, and then the West Coast version was UCLA. The remnants that they left behind, it's unlike anything you ever, it's worse than a third world asshole country.
Make the professors clean it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, get out there with a garbage bag, prof.
Right. I want to see the professor picking up trash like that Indian commercial back when we were kids with a single tear coming out of his eye. So this OnlyFans influencer and creator and TikTok star is doing interviews claiming that she was paid to spread political propaganda from the Biden administration on social media. Now, I don't think this comes as a shock. Remember when Jen Psaki was around the White House? She loved having these freaks from social media come in and do wacky videos. Somebody did some video where he was bossing Jen Psaki around. They had like some summit of all these weirdos. So Farha Khalati has been doing the interview rounds, and she said that she was paid by the Biden administration to put positive stories out there, positive posts about then nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Quote, I was doing full on political propaganda, and that was from a recent interview.
Are we supposed to be surprised by this? I mean, this is pretty much par for the course.
Right.
And I mean, look, Republicans do it too. I think there was an onslaught of DeSantis propaganda being put out there against Trump. DeSantis hired certain social media influencers to do the same thing.
It just goes back to a conversation we had earlier in the show. Do these influencers, whether it be social media or real celebrities, Taylor Swift, The Rock, people like that, do they sway opinion? That's the question.
When you hear somebody like Taylor Swift say, get out and vote, she really means get out and vote the way I want you to vote.
Right. But does Farha Khalati from OnlyFans have that same pull? That's my question.
I laugh every time you say the name because I have no clue who that is. Farha. Oh, Farha, would you mind fetching me a Fresca from the refrigerator, Farha? Farha Khalati.
That's what I drink when I go on vacation.
Yeah, I'll take a Farha Khalati, please.
Do a quick Google search. See with see
man,
what a Farha Kalati looks like.
Yeah, she's pretty.
You've already done it, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
So Nige, a 51-year-old Catholic priest in Pennsylvania, used a church's credit card to spend over $40,000 on upgrades to mobile games like Mario Kart Tour and Candy Crush. He admitted to having a mobile game addiction.
Well, at least it's a mobile game addiction and not something else that was prominently a problem in the Catholic Church.
So this is the bar? Well, he didn't molest anybody, but he spent $40,000 of church money. That's the bar here? Okay. I think it's time for great moments in religious history.
Oh, okay.
This was the pastor in Missouri who was fed up with how cheap the people were that came to his services.
Oh,
no. See, that's how I know you're still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, because of how you've been honoring me. I'm not worth your McDonald's money. Come on. I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford it no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton. I ain't worth your Prada. I'm not worth your Gucci. You can buy a Movado watch in Sam's.
Yes, you can.
And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my cheap sons and daughters. I don't want to hear no more excuses about what y'all can't afford. You can't afford it because you don't see the value here. When y'all hear from y'all pastor and father, I'm over y'all. I'm over your cheap expressions.
Who are these people? Who are these people that are putting up with this in the congregation? And who is this guy, this pastor? Like, could you imagine, like, the lead pastor at Traders Point Christian Church? Aaron saying, why would you guys bought me Gucci yet? I get up and walk right out.
Excuse me, Micah Beckwith, is there a reason why you're calling us all cheapskates and yelling at us, Pastor Beckwith? Great moments in religious history. This is where a pastor tried to pick a fight with the fiance of another girl that went to the church.
And where have you been, Mr. Underwood? And I noticed on the calendar I'm supposed to marry y'all. What makes you think I'd marry you? You're one of the sorriest church members I have. You're not worth 15 cents. And you want me to marry you to her? And you want to marry him? And he don't even know where he belongs? And you don't even know where you belong? Stand up, big boy.
Uh-oh.
Are y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room? He has a little attitude adjustment that we're going to fix. Now, I don't care what your mama thinks and your daddy thinks. But, mama, you get out of my way when I'm messing with that boy. And last I checked, he's a grown man.
Pastor wants the smoke. He's ready to throw down. He's ready to throw hands.
This is happening during the service.
Yes.
The church service.
Correct. Great moments in religious history.
There's more.
This is at a predominantly black church.
Okay.
There was a pastor who was a little upset that many of the women singing in the choir had reputations of being floozies.
Why you wait till you get old and look like a whore? Hey, Grandma, are you a hoe? Grandma, yeah. Are you a hoe?
That's right.
You so-called Christian-looking whores.
Good Lord.
Jumping in some church, flapping your ankle chains around. Amen. All on the choir, breasts hanging out, lips all red, nails painted red, purple, blue, green, long like bird claws. All this fake hair, breast implants, toenails painted with little fake diamonds in it. Your toes ain't richer. You're nothing but a prostitute.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing but a singing hoe, a shouting hoe, a organ playing hoe, a choir director hoe. If what I just said describe your wife, you're married to a hoe.
Wow!
Let us pray.
Yeah, and then I love the people in the congregation. Amen! Amen!
By the way, all of those women he just listed, we have a spot for them here at the Hammer and Nigel show.
That wasn't a church. That wasn't a church service. That was a Cat Williams stand-up comedy routine.
Right.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show on 93 WIPC.
Hello, my name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest on the hotline.
He is the Strategic Communications Director for the RNC. You can see some of his work on the popular handle at RNC Research. Tommy Pigott joins us. Tommy, the jobs report is out. The jobs angle is a big area where Joe Biden tries to fool people into thinking he's doing great things. What did we learn about the jobs report today?
Well, we learned that Biden's economy is continuing to be a giant failure. I mean, we've already seen this in the polls where we have most Americans saying the economy is poor. But one of the numbers that stuck out to me was that first, job growth was much lower than expected. We're seeing that it's becoming more and more sluggish. But on top of that, we saw over 770,000 more Americans are now considered unemployed than a year ago. We're talking about an economy that's leaving many, many Americans behind, millions of Americans. And so while job growth slows, while GDP growth slows, we see inflation accelerating. And that has many economists worrying about stagflation, which is the last thing you want to see in an economy.
And the thing is, Tommy, like the way the administrations cook these books, right? They will try to get any sort of advantage on these job numbers they can, even if that means having to go back in a month or two and offer a revision. Oh, by the way, we were off by 10 to 15,000. They'll do that any chance they can get, and it was still under what they thought it would be today.
Yeah, we consistently see these numbers being revised down, and I think it does show again the failure of the Biden economy, where you're not meeting these expectations. And on top of that, we're in an economy right now where most of the jobs that Biden is going out there bragging about were just recovered since the pandemic, and they were recovered in mainly Republican-led states. So we're talking about an economy where even when Biden tries to claim credit for things, it's completely dishonest. And really, he should be crediting Republican governors for that job recovery. And the fact that right now we're seeing this growth slow down, this job growth slow down, despite the fact that Biden has wasted trillions of dollars, shows that we're really getting nothing for all that money that Biden spent except for massive price hikes. And those price hikes are basically tax hikes. So this job report is just another signal that shows that all the times that Biden goes out there trying to claim credit, in reality, his Bidenomics plan is not working. It's just making American families poor.
And one more thing on this, and then we can move on. We often talk in this segment about jobs recovered versus jobs created and how the administration tries to blur those lines, Tommy. What, in terms of jobs created, what kind of jobs are, quote unquote, being created?
Well, many of them are government jobs, yes, to be honest with you. Many of them are jobs that rely on massive government spending. And I think it's important for everyone to remember, and this is something that most Americans know, the government doesn't have any money. The government doesn't produce its own money. It takes money from American citizens through taxes. So when we talk about government jobs, in a sense, it's just taking money from one person and giving it to another. That's not a recipe for a
prosperous economy. I never thought about it like that. Wow.
Yes, I mean, it's just not, so it's really, you need to have private sector job growth. You need to have small businesses driving this economy. That's where you actually have a prosperous economy, and that's just not what Biden's economy is.
And it's a lot of part-time jobs, too. That's a big part that they seem to leave out of the conversation here. We're not talking about creating these big jobs in manufacturing that pay these big salaries with benefits.
No.
We're talking about side hustles that people are getting because they're having a hard time with the cost of living right now.
I mean, that's exactly right. We're seeing the exact same thing for many people that are retired or retirees entering back into the workforce. Many people that are on a fixed income are forced to take that second part-time job. And this is why, again, Biden goes out there bragging. When you have an uptick in part-time jobs, that's not the sign of a healthy economy.
Yeah.
That's a sign of people in trouble. That's a sign of people that can't afford food, that can't afford rent, that can't afford energy. And so when we see this massive uptick, and we see that reflected also in the underemployment rate where people are not having a job that's able to have them meet ends meet. And so we see that uptick at very high levels. So, again, all these times that Biden is out there bragging about these jobs numbers, he's either misleading on the total number, talking about recovered or versus created, or he's talking about part-time jobs that really are not a signal of a healthy economy. Like we said, it's a signal that people are struggling.
Tommy Pigott is our guest. He's the Strategic Communications Director for the RNC. Tommy, we've seen it here in Indiana. We've been watching coverage all over the country of these college protests, these encampments. Some cases, police have came in and had to break down the encampments. I'm just curious as to your perspective on what you're seeing across the country.
Well, these protests are heinous. These protests are showing some of the worst rhetoric that we've seen. I mean, they're really terrible. First of all, just the idea that they're shutting down these campuses is absolutely terrible. But on top of that, we're seeing that Jewish students are being targeted. Jewish students are being denied access to campuses. These protesters are shouting really heinous rhetoric at Jewish students. We're seeing anti-Semitic rhetoric come out of these protests. Really, riots and mobs are a better word to describe them. And I think, again, it's showing the failure of Joe Biden, because this campus chaos is on Joe Biden. For months now, Joe Biden has tried to placate the radical left, has said he understands where they're coming from, has said he respects their passion, has praised agitators like AOC who have gone to Columbia and other places and praised these rioters. That's what Biden has done, and Biden has been incredibly weak on this issue. Biden has refused to say the word condemn when it comes to these riots, and that's the bare minimum he should be doing, is condemning these protests, condemning these riots. And I think what a contrast between Biden and President Trump. Biden, who's weak on this issue. Meanwhile, President Trump, it's clear he's calling on college universities to clear these encampments, protect students, and he's also calling to support Israel. And that's what we need to be doing. President Trump has shown leadership on this issue, and it's yet another example of why we desperately need President Trump back in the White House.
And meanwhile, President Biden is mulling over bringing a bunch of people in that have been indoctrinated with anti-Semitism and violence since they were young. Your take on Biden thinking of bringing in some Gaza refugees?
I think it's incredibly short-sighted. I think it's especially given the fact that we don't really have a vetting system in place right now, given how overloaded the border is and how much our system is already struggling to vet anyone. It really is short-sighted, and it poses a national security risk. I think it's important to keep in mind that the neighbors in the Middle East are not accepting refugees, and I think it's important to ask why. Why won't Egypt accept refugees? Why won't Saudi Arabia? Why won't other countries? And I think it's because they don't believe that they can do so in a way that keeps their country secure. We should be asking those questions of why countries in the region aren't stepping up to that degree, and we shouldn't be, in response, especially when we see these college protests, really importing refugees from Gaza when we don't have no idea what they are, no idea who they are, no idea what they believe, and no idea what their plans might be. We should be supporting Israel. We should be calling for the complete destruction of Hamas. That's where our focus should be, not on trying to appease the radical left like Joe Biden's trying to do.
Imagine opening the border, opening the front door for a group that's too rowdy to get into Saudi Arabia. Let that sink in for just a moment. Tommy Pigott, check out some of his work at RNC Research.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
The dingo ate your baby.
And now Hammer and Nigel proudly presents.
Damn, nature, you're scary.
Lions.
And tigers.
And bears.
Oh, my.
Hammer, a three-year-old little girl in North Carolina told her mom she heard monsters in her bedroom wall.
Oh, no.
What three-year-old girl doesn't hear monsters in their walls and underneath the bed, right?
Right.
So an exterminator did an ultrasound of the wall, right? Turns out it was 60,000 bees.
Oh, my God.
Here's the mom on how the removal process is going.
Today is day 10 of all this bee stuff, and we are finally getting into my daughter's room. There are some bees on the ground. There's just bees everywhere. They're like little landmines because they can still sting you when dead. This is going to be a long process. She hasn't been able to use any of her toys or anything. We're going to have to open up the wall, actually, to get some of the electric repaired. And yes, I can still hear buzzing going on in the wall.
How horrifying is that?
That is about as scary as it gets. Damn nature, you definitely are scary.
So that was the mom telling the story. Here's the dad.
Oh, no, not the bees!
Of course.
Not the bees!
Of course.
Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! My eyes!
You got me.
You knew it was coming at some
point.
You got
me. No, I thought we were actually going to hear from her dad. You got me.
Let's do some more.
All right, let's do it.
Damn, nature, you're scary.
A bear may have traumatized a few families at the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. So they were on the other side of the enclosure, and the bear exhibit was in front of them. Now, there's like a little pond there where the bear can get in the water and frolic and do bear things. A duck and some ducklings decided they want to get in the water.
Ooh.
And at that point, the bear decided he was hungry and devoured the ducklings in front of the kids.
Traumatized me. Stop.
Did you have to put the scary music behind it to make it worse?
Good God. And the thing is, I'm watching it right now, and this bear's just playing along. He's just thinking it's candy. I mean, he's eating them like they're jelly beans.
And it's right in front of the kids, too. It was like the bear grabbed the duck and then ran off and turned his back. He did it right there in front of the kids.
Damn, nature, you scary.
How close do you want to get to nature? A couple of lions got on top of a tourist safari jeep and started making sweet love with each other. They started doing the hibbity-dibbity. Since the top of the jeep is wicker, the tourists got this amazing audio. So what I'm going to play for you right now are the sounds of two lions getting it on.
This is on top of the jeep?
Yes. Turn it up, Allison. Our record label, Hammer and Nigel Records, we've actually got a remix of the lions getting it on.
Really? Really? Completely unnecessary.
So, as the parent of some younger kids, Nige, what would you rather have them see? The bear devouring the ducklings or lion sex?
I would say lion sex and just tell them they're wrestling.
Okay.
Right?
They're just playing with each other.
Sure. Yeah.
You wouldn't even be lying.
I wouldn't.
So, what do you think about this, Nige? Dave and Buster's. They're adding a gambling feature to their new app. Dave & Buster's has an app to where you can gamble on some of the games they've got there, like skee-ball, video games, air hockey.
Is Dave & Buster's like a family-oriented arcade that serves food? I've never been to a Dave & Buster's. Have you?
I have not.
So you're telling me you can gamble on skee-ball now?
Correct.
I think that sounds like kind of a great money-making scheme for Dave & Buster's, but probably bad for the family.
Screw it. I'm in it.
I knew you were going to say that.
I am in it.
I knew.
If I can make money hustling people in air hockey, I will do it. Now, I'm not very good at video games unless it's like Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, or Pole Position. Other than those, I'm probably useless. I'm not that good in skee ball, but if there's a claw game, or if there's an air hockey table, like if there's a U.S. Olympic team for air hockey, I may be on the team.
What about the hot shots? Pop a shot.
I'm okay. I can hold my own.
Yeah, I can hold my own on pop shots, but you're saying you're able to gamble on these games.
So you can go on the Dave & Buster's app. They're going to be adding this feature to pretty much every location to where you and a buddy, you know, you have the two-player mode set up. You could each put $5 in, $10 in, and the winner gets the money. I'm here for that, man. And I'm surprised, honestly, this hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
Because e-sports and like e-gaming is like a big deal. Hell, the Pacers have an e-sports team. They play in that NBA 2K league. And I think out in Vegas, at the Luxor, you can gamble on certain games like this. So I'm here for it. Dave & Buster's, let me know when I can gamble on air hockey, because I will go up there and just hustle kids. I will be like Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson and White Men Can't Jump, just running a hustle, making some money on that thing. This is my favorite story.
Oh, I wanted to hear what that was.
I can't love this enough. So by now, I think many of you have seen that video and the pictures from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where the pro-Hamas lunatic protesters were trying to attack the American flag, take it down and put up a Palestinian flag. But there was a group of frat bros that defended the American flag, and they were talking smack back to the pro-Hamas protesters.
Yes.
You've seen this, right? These are the brothers of Pi Kappa Phi, a fraternity on the campus of North Carolina, and they were defending the flag, and they were running their mouths and talking smack, and it was awesome. Every bit of this was awesome. Somebody started a GoFundMe for these kids to have the biggest, baddest rager of a college frat party ever because they defended America. Somebody started a GoFundMe for a big rager, and it's already over $440,000.
No, I'm looking at it right now. Hammer, it's
$458,404.
The top donor, Hammer, some guy named John Clark donated $10,000 to these guys who are being compared like the modern day frat boy version of the Iwo Jima flag raising.
Right. They've got their collared shirts on and their khakis defending the American flag.
I love it. It just goes to show that I think the normal people outnumber the lunatics.
You're right.
I mean, it's the vocal minority that we're hearing from right now.
And there's a lot of grown-ass men that could get a lesson from the brothers of Pi Kappa Phi about masculinity and what it's like being a man and defending something. These guys are awesome. And right now, they've got major event planners helping plan this big rager they want to throw. Major recording artists are volunteering to play the party.
Oh, really?
John Rich put on Twitter, he'll play for free. He'll recruit some of his Nashville friends to throw this amazing frat party for these brave American kids.
They've surpassed their goal. Their goal was $450,000. I don't know who did this for them. I don't think it was the fraternity that initiated this GoFundMe.
It was somebody that thought that's an awesome act, and just go into Google and type in UNC Rager, R-A-G-E-R, or go to Twitter and type that in. You'll find the GoFundMe link, and it's verified. And again, they've got somebody that they claim used to work with special events at the White House that has volunteered to help put this party on. I can't love this enough. This is my favorite story, and I can't wait for the party. Like, imagine being on the campus of North Carolina. It's a Saturday night, and you're walking around. Well, we could go to the Lambda house over here. They've got a DJ. Or we could go over here to the Pi house, and they've got John Rich, Jason Aldean, and Morgan Wallen on the stage. They've got it sponsored by a liquor company. It's going to be amazing. Like, that is the most perfect thing in the world, and I cannot love that enough. So good.
You've been listening to the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show. Catch us on our socials at Hammer and Nigel and check out store.hammerandnigel.com.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.